Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Kenneth Allen. All is well here, and God bless everyone, all of our listeners.
Yeah, well, I know you're not telling the truth, but our listeners don't.
I'm thinking of St. John Vianney very well.
Very well. Very well.
Inwardly, it's all glory. Outwardly, that's another story.
Amen. Amen. The evil one's on, he's on the prowl, but we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for being with us today. For whatever part of the next 2 hours you can spend with us, it'll be Father McKay and I for the next hour or so, and then the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Helen Hoffner. I've had her on before, but she's written a pretty cool book on collecting rosaries. And so we won't be talking about necessarily the devotions associated with the rosary, but more about how long they've been being made for and what they're made of and all the different types that are out there. I got a quick look at the book, and it's pretty impressive. So if you're a rosary devotee, you may want to stick around in the 5 o'clock hour today. But, yeah, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. It's kept us on the air for over 40 years, and lets Father and I and a host of others be here every day, weekday, that is, from 4 to 6 p.m. here on 800 a.m. WTMR, over WTMR's website, and as well as their app. If you use a smartphone or tablet, you may want to think about downloading the WTMR radio app. This time of year, when it starts to get dark, they have to power down our signal out of Camden, New Jersey, and so it may not reach as far. But it comes through crystal clear, both over the Internet and on that app, so I highly recommend it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. If you're interested in sponsoring this hour or the 5 o'clock hour on any given Wednesday, you can go to that website, ourhouseministries.org, and click on Donate, and there's a button there that will allow you to donate the appropriate amount to cover an hour of radio time. If you like the shows, I encourage you to subscribe to my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. I usually get a post out every Thursday morning with highlights from the show along with links to the recordings. In case you miss a show, want to re-listen to a show, or pass it along to family and friends. Real easy way to do that for you. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with the daily mass at 8:30 in the morning, and usually open till about 4:30. On Tuesdays, we have Talbot Tuesday, where we have a holy hour from 3 to 4, followed by Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction. And on 4 o'clock on Thursdays, we have a rosary said by the Matt Talbot Shrine before we close the shrine for the day. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's life, which will take place in June 2025. There's going to be a lot going on in Dublin, Ireland that weekend, June 6th to the 8th. And there will also be a pilgrimage that I believe is going to start that Monday, which will be June the 2nd. It'll go June 2nd to June 9th. Start in the west of Ireland and Knock and make its way east and be in Dublin for the celebration on the weekend. One of the other projects around that is a docudrama that we want to make. You can learn more about it at matttalbotfilm.com. I don't know if I showed you the picture, Father. We have an actor now, a real young Irish guy, and looks like he could be Matt Talbot himself. That's going to do some of the acting. We'll reenact some of the scenes from Matt's life. And so I think we're going to be able to get the actor with us in December over in Ireland. Outside of that, the only other announcement, we'll run through all the Calyx meetings after the break, but this weekend is the third Sunday of the month. So there'll be a Calix meeting out at the Malvern Retreat House on Sunday afternoon. There'll be 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Hall, followed by a Calix meeting. And if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, yes, the 14th of November, will be the second Thursday of the month, which means the Knights of Immaculata, or the Militia Immaculata Village, will be meeting out at the Retreat House beginning at 7 o'clock in the Carlo Acutis Shrine. All are more than welcome to join. You don't have to be a Knight of the Immaculata or have made the consecration to attend. As a matter of fact, you can go and learn more about it. So I think that's it in the way of announcements. We'll go ahead and get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery in St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Francis Xavier Cabrini.
Pray for us.
St. Josephat.
Pray for us.
St. Martin of Tours.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We need your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We'll give out the phone numbers again before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the 32nd week of Ordinary Time, and it's amazing how fast this year has gone by. We'll be back in Advent before we know it. We've got a full slate of saints in the liturgical calendar this week. On Sunday the 10th, St. Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church. Monday the 11th, St. Martin of Tours, who was a bishop. Yesterday, the 12th, St. Josephat, Bishop and Martyr. Today, here in the United States, we celebrate St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, Virgin. On Friday, November the 15th, St. Albert the Great, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. And we have two saints on the Saturday the 16th, St. Margaret of Scotland and St. Gertrude, Virgin. And as is the tradition of the show, if we have a saint of the day, that's usually who we go with first. And we have a popular saint today, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And I say popular because I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen the Cabrini movie that came out earlier this year. A wonderful movie that documented the life of St. Francesca Xavier Cabrini. And I say Francesca because I had mentioned back when the movie came out, and, of course, in the movie she's referred to as Francesca. That would have been her Italian name. And my wife, her mother, my mother-in-law, had been a missionary charity for a short time, the same order as Francis Cabrini. And she'd actually taken the religious name Sister Francesca. And my wife wasn't quite sure why, because we always referred to Mother Cabrini is St. Francis, not St. Francesca, but after we went to see the movie, it made perfect sense. St. Frances Xavier Cabrini was born on July the 15th in the year 1850, and she would die at the age of 67 on December the 22nd, the year 1917. She's the first United States citizen to be canonized, and didn't start out looking like she was going to be a missionary, but she was educated to be a teacher and worked with the House of Providence Orphanage in Cadogno, Italy. In September 1877, she would make her vows and take the religious habit. Then, shortly after, 1880, the bishop closed the orphanage, and he would name Frances the prioress of the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart. And she really had her heart set on going to China, but when she went to the Pope had other ideas and decided that he needed her to go to New York, where there were a lot of Italian immigrants that could use her help. So she and six sisters would travel to New York City to work with the thousands of Italian immigrants that were there. When she got there, and many of us saw the movie, got to see on the screen the difficulties that she experienced. The initial place and house where they thought they would have the orphanage, when they got here, it wasn't available. The Archbishop was not didn't seem to be too friendly a person with her, and actually suggested that she return to Italy, but she didn't. We watched as she found her way to manage through the bureaucracy, not only in the church, but in the politics of New York City at the time, and establish that first orphanage. And then she would go on to found over 60 more institutions that were dedicated to caring for the poor, the abandoned, the uneducated, and the sick. Most of all, she helped those Italian immigrants who she was sent to help. She was always afraid of water, and I didn't quite understand that, Father, in the movie, but they would depict that a few times throughout. And yet, despite that fear of water, it says that she actually managed to travel back and forth across the Atlantic 30 times. Eventually, she would die of malaria in her own Columbus Hospital in Chicago. And again, that was on December the 22nd, 1917. So we celebrate today, St. Frances Xavier Cabrini, today and every year on November the 13th. Father?
Yeah, she was afraid of water because she almost drowned. You know, that was all about. But like you said, I thought she crossed 25 times. She said 30 times. But, you know, two of those voyages, they just missed an iceberg when it destroyed the ship. And she was actually ready to get on board for the Titanic, believe it or not, from England to the United States. And business affairs came up, and she had to cancel the trip. And we know the story about the Titanic. But it was always God there. You know, his providence was always taking care of her. But it was Pope Pius XII that really, you know, called her a humble woman who lived a virtuous life. Inspired by the grace of God, we join the saints in honoring the Holy Virgin Frances Xavier Cabrini. She was a humble woman who became outstanding, not because she was famous or rich or powerful, but because she lived a virtuous life. Ken, she was just, a virgin, you know, just a white as a lily. She did so many penances, but she went on fire. It was this zeal, this fire, this to do everything for the greater glory of God, and this fire was her love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So they came up to Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart. The movie was a powerful movie, but it really didn't bring this out, you know, of her spiritual life. You know, where did she get all this strength from? You know, this enthusiasm, this inflow of the Holy Spirit, this love for Jesus. Hours on hours in front of the tabernacle. That's where she met Jesus Christ, in the pulsations of his heart. That's where she fell in love with him. And that's where she received her strength. From her Eucharistic devotion to Jesus, day in and day out, like all the other saints, too. I mean, they just spent hours and hours, you know, in the morning, at night. They usually had their own access to tabernacles. But there was, you know, I wish the movie would have brought that out more, but I understood that they were trying to appeal to more like a secular society. But it was her spiritual life And then she got all that fire within, and she can work with the delinquent youths, you know, all those who were in trouble in prison, the sick. She just kept going and going and going. But, you know, I was thinking where Leo XIII, she wanted to go to the east, to China, as you say. And in China, she would be the missionary. She actually, in the time, would dress up dolls as nuns. She would sail toy boats. She gave up the sweets to prepare to go to China because there were no sweets in China. So her heart was really bent on going to China. But Leo XIII, you know, said, it's not to the east, it's to the west, to help with all the Italian immigrants. And there she went. But from there, you know, she would just, the Lord would lead her to New York, but then to that empire all throughout the world, into all those different countries that she would be. You know, set out in 87, established schools, hospitals, orphanages, South America, Argentina, Brazil, Nicaragua. She died in Chicago. You know, all these, you know, it spread. But, you know, I was just reflecting on this today, that she didn't, what she wanted to do, God had a different agenda for her. And, you know, it made me think on Monday, where you came up for the 8 o'clock mass at Mount Vernon, we prepared to erect the papal cross of John Paul II that was on the platform in October 3rd, 1979, in front of the Basilica of Peter and Paul. And here, you know, we were all excited, you know, to get that cross in place. And Monday we got that cross in place. But how the devil works, you know, there was so much division how everything should be done. You know? And we all had our different ideas. But when it came to that day, we were all united. We were all united. There was the Holy Spirit came down upon us as they dropped that cross in place. And then I was thinking, gosh, we were, you know, the thing was they wanted me just to bless the cross as the workers were continuing to do their welding. I said, I don't want to do that, you know. The blessing, it's Jesus who's doing the blessing through his priesthood. And if Jesus would appear doing that blessing, there'd be a hush. We'd probably be on our faces. And I said, let them finish the work, and that way, when they finish, we'll process from down at Our Lady's Chapel, and then we'll come down, we'll do the readings, the gospel, we'll do the blessing, and then with the Our Father, Hail Mary for our veterans, you know, and for all those who were involved in it, especially the, let me see if I get this name right, Petrangolo family. And the grandfather was there, you know, the head and all that, and there were only a couple of family members there. And so we had to wait an hour after the ceremony. It was Pat Chirachi that gave the ceremony. Did a very good job, Michael, giving his little talk and all. Really powerful stuff. And you felt the spirit. We had high school kids there. We had grade school kids there. And now when everything was done, we had to wait an hour for them to finish the work. Well, we were losing everybody. Everybody was leaving. And then it was time for the blessing. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hits me and says, you know, not to bless it now. Wait till the retreat, and the retreat is going to be the Sons of Italy this weekend. And they say, Michael was saying, there's at least 50 members retreating from the Petrangolo family that will be there. And I said, how wonderful would that be? You know, first of all, the retreatants are there for the blessing. It's all about all the retreatants in Malvern. They'll be there, and all the members of the Petrangolo family will be there, the ones who dug the hole, made the foundation, had the cranes that are going to come and make the platform. And identical with the platform there that in October 3rd, 1979. So, you know, I was thinking about all that. Honor God. That you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. You know, I want to go over there, and God wants me to go over there. And you heard me say this before. Can I go out the door to go visit somebody? And inevitably, somebody's going to intercept me. And I get disappointed. And I realize that my disappointments are divine appointments. So God had this whole thing set up already, and we're trying to figure everything out. And everything just fell into place. And I think about that with Mother Cabrini, where she wanted to go to the east. And God said, not yet. You're going to the west, and the Holy Father's going to let you know that. And she went according to God's agenda and not her agenda. You know, not my will be done, but God's will be done. That's all we want to do. That's where the peace lies, the joy, the transforming love. And thank God, it's always his will and not our will, Ken. I'm afraid of my will, but I'm not afraid of his will. So trust the Lord. That's one of the things I got out out today as I was reflecting on Mother Cabrini. You know, it's God's agenda. We follow him, and he doesn't follow us. Amen.
Amen. Now, and it's interesting because I hadn't thought about it, it being an honor God, but it really is. In October, being the month of the Rosary, I put a couple articles out on my Substack about the different ways to use the Rosary, most of which I've learned from you. You know, of course, the regular Rosary and then the Gratitude Rosary. And a couple of weeks ago, I had put out an article, and I was going to finish up with the Surrender Rosary. And I hadn't gotten to it, and then I had some time this morning and finally published it. And, you know, it was a combination article about the Surrender Rosary and the Surrender Novena, which, you know, I know our friend Pat and a bunch of others, Patrick rather, and a bunch of other people pray on a daily basis, that Surrender Novena. But you had told me way back when about the Surrender Novena or the Surrender Rosary, where, you know, you go around the rosary beads and, you know, Jesus, I trust in you, my wife Susan. Jesus, I trust in you, my children, and name them. And Jesus, I trust in you, my job. And Jesus, I trust in you, my vocation. And whatever other situations that you have in your life that you're struggling with, or even that you're thankful for, or the you just don't know where to turn and you want to give it over to God, to use that Surrender Rosary. And just like the Gratitude Rosary and some of the others, it can be hard at first to come up with, you know, 50 or 60 things that you want to thank God for or turn over and trust to God. But once you do it a few times, you come to realize that there's so many things in our lives that we can just give over to God. You know, give them the weather, give them your job, give them the promotion that you want. Give them whatever it is that has you wound up, bound up, and frustrated, and he'll take care of it. You know, the key, though, is that you don't, that once you give it over to him, that you leave it there. So many times people will say, oh, yeah, I trust in God, and they turn over a situation, and then they, you know, they got their fingernails right back in it again, trying to pull it back and make things go their way. And like we see with, I think, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, you know, she was just open to wherever God was going to send her. Maybe there was some frustration when the assignment was New York and not China. There was certainly frustration once she got here and, you know, things weren't going her way, but she didn't give up. And, you know, she was able to turn some heads and find a way to get the support that she needed. And like you mentioned, I'm sure there was an awful lot of prayer that went before those visits to newspaper editors and the mayor of New York and even back to the archbishop a couple of times, you know, praying ahead of time that things would go well and that in every situation that God's will would be done. And sure enough, it was. And it was pretty cool to witness, you know, what went on Monday. You know, despite the foot, I've got it back on the ground. I don't know if people noticed last week, if you were on Facebook and saw the video, I kind of had my leg up because I was in the middle of a gout attack, but, I did get out to Malvern on Monday and, to watch that cross being raised. And I knew that there was consternation about, doing the blessing and how this was all going to unfold. There were a number of people there. There were, you know, kids from St. Patrick's and kids from Malvern Prep. And, you know, they only had limited time. They had to get back to school. And so once the cross was lifted and bolted down, there were still some things that needed to be done and waiting for those trucks to get out of the way. And the whole time, you know, the thing for the incense was kind of, you know, sitting there. The charcoal, I think, was lit. There was even some concern because we haven't had any rain in a while. People were concerned perhaps an ember would shoot out of there and light things up. So some last-minute precautions were made. But it all played out exactly the way God needed it to be played out. And I think the Sons of Italy are going to have a great experience on Saturday afternoon. If you're listening and you're making that retreat, you're going to see a slight change to the schedule where after Mass on Saturday afternoon, there'll be a procession from, I think, the chapel and Our Lady's out to that new cross. And it'll be blessed appropriately, just as God and Father McKay wanted it to happen. But, you know, all the worries that we have, Father, and I've seen this working with you for the last 15 years, how many times we get, you know, we worry about things or, you know, get a little frustrated because things don't seem to be going the way they should. And somehow or other, God just seems to make it work out.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking too, Ken, we had the Mass at Malvern for the remembrance for all the souls, the retreatants that died during the year.
Yeah.
And the confusion was it was going to be 2:30. Others were saying it was 3 o'clock. And Michael was a little, disturbed a little bit and said, you know, what are we going to do? Let's make it 4:45 because people will be here early late. And what happened was this was another design by God. So here's the people at 2:30. What do we do with them? So Michael gets up, you know, just spontaneously and speaks about Carlos Acutis in the Carlos Acutis Shrine. Gave a powerful talk about the Eucharist and everything like that. That's what God wanted,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He writes straight with our crooked lines, and everybody loved it. It was so peaceful. But God always brings good out of every situation, and we should always thank him for whatever happens because he's going to bring even a greater good. And in the end, even death itself brings a greater good. Where we see him face to face in eternal life, in those verdant pastures with all our loved ones there. But you're talking about that surrender. Just surrender to God's will, what he wants, his plan. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. You want to make him roar? Tell him your theological hunches. But the movie Wizard of Oz, at the end, you see the witch flying around, and she makes... A statement in the sky, and it said, "Surrender, Dorothy." And I remember in my heart, I saw an angel flying around, and it wasn't dark smoke, it was white smoke. Surrender, Douglas. Surrender, Douglas. And really, it's all about surrender. That's where we find our merit, in surrender. And even that's a grace. I can't even surrender without grace. It's all grace. And I hear the Lord say that over and over again. I am the vine. You are the branch. And apart from me, you can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't move a little, wiggle a little finger. I can't do anything without grace. And that grace is always there. So when you were talking about surrender, I was thinking about all those things, Ken. And the rosary of surrender, my surrender mysteries. And I often pray these. And my first surrender mystery, I take them out of order, but they're all in the 20 mysteries. But my surrender mysteries, I take the Annunciation. Where our Lord says, "Let it be done to me as you say, not my will, your will," and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then I come to the second surrender mystery, the marriage feast at Cana. Right? Do what he tells you. Do what he tells you. And then I come to the baptism of the Lord, right? Where John the Baptist is reluctant to baptize Jesus, and those first words in the gospel, those very first words are powerful. It's for the AA rooms, NA rooms, everybody suffers with addiction. Allow it now. Surrender. Let me do it. Not your will, my will be done. And then the fourth surrender mysteries, I contemplate and meditate on the transfiguration, going up the mountain, where Jesus, you know, two times that the Father makes an appearance in the New Testament at the baptism of the Lord and at the transfiguration. It's like he pulls over the curtain, he sticks his head in, and he says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We have nowhere else to go but to him. He has the words of eternal life. And then when I come to the fifth surrender mystery, I think about the Paschal mystery. I think about when Jesus takes bread and wine, and he says, "This is my body, this is my blood, eat, drink. Do this. It's a commandment. Surrender to this mystery. It's his last will and testimony. Do this." And then, I think about the cross. You know, we're taking in that mystery on the cross, you know, at the agony in the garden. Not my will be done, Father, your will be done. And then on the cross, into your hands I commend my spirit. It's all about our surrender, to do what God wants, not what we want, like the saints do. You know? surrender to the will of God, and all shall be well, Ken.
Amen. Well, we've already got to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. The phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Again, that prayer, those prayers and the financial support you provide are what allow Father and I and all the broadcasters to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. So thank you for that. Quick rundown on the Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calix Society is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father McKay and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel. The chapel is at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, directly across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m. with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calix meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, which will be next Tuesday, the 19th, instead of meeting in our chapel, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7, where we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Father McKay, Father Michael Shea from the Basilica Shrine of the Miraculous Medal, and sometimes other priests will be on hand to help with confessions. And then at 7 o'clock, we celebrate the Mass, and that Mass is offered for all those in recovery from addiction, those that are still struggle with addiction, and most importantly, the friends and family members who love them. So everybody is more than welcome to come and join us on that third Tuesday of the month, which again will be next Tuesday, the 19th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, November the 21st. The Glenside unit, my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist, meets on the third Saturday of each month. So that'll be this coming Saturday, November the 16th. We go to 8:30 Mass in the morning with the parish, and then downstairs afterwards for a Calyx meeting. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that this Sunday is the third Sunday of the month, so the Calyx group at the Malvern Retreat House will be gathering for 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a Calyx meeting. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet on Saturday, November the 24th. Mentioned lately that there's also a couple online Calyx meetings daily hosted by various people around the country, around the world. If you're interested in learning about them, you can reach out to me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. If you shoot me an email, I can send you a copy of the weekly email with all the information about those online meetings. And unfortunately, no phone calls. So I'm sure God's alive and well and working in people's lives. You can still give us a call if you care to, especially if you got an odd or God situation. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or toll free at 888-343-2484. Where do you want to go, Father?
Well, I have an odd or God, Ken.
All right, pal.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'm just thinking about just how God is so present in every event. And I'm just going back to the cross, and it was Joe Owens, whose mother, Genevieve Owens, died in our, you know, with the Little Sisters of the Poor. Actually, I even got her in my book. But he came up to me and asked me about the significance of this cross. And, you know, of course, I told him I was the cross bearer, you know, back there, and I'm going to be the cross bearer on June the 22nd when they dedicate everything out there. And I said, the cross, it's the image, it's the most sacred image of the Paschal mystery. It points to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's all about the Mass. It's about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And then the honor God things were like Carlos Acutis, all about the Eucharist. And when the announcement came out that the third miracle happened and he would be canonized saint, the cross comes on that day, the same day. You know, John Paul II, that papal cross that we all stood next to when he came. And it was all about the Eucharist. And my honor God is that I'm doing Matthew Kelly's 33 Days to Eucharistic Glory, being consecrated to the Blessed Sacrament. And here I'm you know, on my 11th day. I'm on my 10th day. Now, the 11th day, tomorrow, is Maximilian Kolbe. And tomorrow I'm going to have the Mass for the village, for Maximilian Kolbe. And, you know, it's just, and then amazing. I said, when I start this, I'm going through this my second time. Now, my first time was when I had the Maximilian Kolbe village was on the exact day that I was on the exact day of Maximilian Kolbe, that Thursday. My point is that it's all revealing itself as Eucharistic. Everything's about the Eucharist. All the saints tell us so. Cabrini, you know, it's like heaven's gravity. They're drawn there. Mother Teresa, you know, John Gigan, the foundress of the Little Sisters, hours upon hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Then they receive all these virtues of Christ. They go on fire, and out they go into the world. And they don't have to say anything. People just look at them, and they're touched by this divine presence within them. So my honor God was, you know, tomorrow is the Maximilian Kolbe Day, and he's all about the Eucharist and sacrificing and all these beautiful things that come. It's like about the sacrifice of Christ. It's Eucharistic. But even more than that, it's not only the sacrifice, but it's a banquet. The cross is the means crossing over into the banquet, into heaven. Now, it's at hand. It's already here. And all we need to do, you know, heaven's on earth, the Eucharist, that little host, is like a window to heaven. We can wave to our loved ones and they can wave back to us. But I thought it was the odder God, you know, divinely orchestrated, that I would be on Maximilian Kolbe tomorrow at the same day that I'm giving Mass for the Maximilian Kolbe Village. So, Otter God.
Otter God is right. And our buddy St. Maximilian Kolbe keeps popping up everywhere. It was key to, I think, getting me to where I am today. That was the first of my Marian consecrations that I made back in 1997. And no doubt that that's what projected me onto the course of my spiritual life that I've been on for over 30 years now. And, you know, so many of the men that we've gotten to meet over the years, the Knights of Immaculata will have their weekend out at Malvern the weekend before Thanksgiving. So next weekend, and again, another sold-out weekend, they managed to get some great retreat directors. But more importantly, it's the men that make that weekend, that have that devotion to Our Blessed Mother and to St. Maximilian Kolbe. And then, of course, here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, when I first started broadcasting out here for Kathleen when she invited me, and, you know, I noted on the door when you came in that the name of the studio was Kolbe Communications. So, you know, way back when Dom Lettieri would, put this great Catholic radio apostolate under the auspices of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who, of course, was, wanted to use various forms of communication in order to spread the word. So,
I was thinking, too, Ken, on Friday, I finally got a little break, and I decided to go to Camilla Hall and visit my first great sister. And Sister Patrick Marine was there. Sister Christy was there. You know, we all sat in the room, Sister Alice Daly. And we're all talking about, the cross and that's going to happen on Monday and Malvern. And Sister Christy said, why do you call it Malvern Retreat House? Because that word Mal means bad. Why don't you call it Godvern? And I thought for a minute, I said, well, that's pretty good. And then I thought, get back to St. Joseph's in the Hill. Somehow Malvern came in. I mean, when you hear it on the radio and it goes all over, Malvern Retreat House, it doesn't sound very Catholic. St. Joseph's in the Hills sounds very Catholic. But what I really want to say is something's happening there at Malvern, the Retreat House, St. Joseph's in the Hills. Saints are flooding in here. Now, it's almost like, I was saying, Jane Cacciabone was like, let's call it the Saints of Malvern, because we're being invaded. And those saints, besides Mary and Joseph, is St. Elect Carlos Acutis, John Paul II, Venerable Matt Talbot, and Maximilian Kolbe. These saints are so involved with this retreat house now. And with Sean Mooney, we're trying to work on the shrine for Matt Talbot, get right next to the cross there, Otter God, for the 100 years. I mean, all this is falling into place. This is all God's doing. Amen. You see the finger of God behind everything. But something really beautiful is happening here in St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House Center.
Amen. And at least a little bit of that's got to do with the current rector. So thanks, Father. We did manage to drum up at least one phone call. We're going to go to one of our regulars. Hello, Frank.
Yes, sir.
How are you, brother?
Good, Ken. Thanks. I have two things, Ken. You ready?
Yep.
I'll save the best for last. The first one, I heard Father Doug say Monday was the feast day of St. Martin de Tours. I knew that their newer pastor from last year was our priest, Father Andrew Lane. He got assigned as a pastor there. He's a great guy. St. Martin de Tours, you have a great guy. A great pastor, Father Andrew Lane. We miss you, Father Lane. And also, Ken Johnson with the T. And Father Doug, the mayor of Grays Ferry, are you ready for the shocking news?
Uh-oh. Lay it on us.
A couple years ago, it was just Wednesdays with Ken and Father Doug and Captain Loon. Just Wednesdays. A couple months ago, it's been progressing. Excuse me. Now it's Tuesdays and Thursdays with Michelle McCarthy. Wednesdays with Hughes. Last Friday, by accident, I thought Friday was Thursday. I found out about Monsignor. I forget his name. He's on Fridays. Monday just passed, I found Rita between 5 and 6. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, I have your network, Inside Network, on every day, Monday to Friday now. How about that?
There you go. We're gonna put you right in heaven, Frank.
A couple of years ago, it was Jim Beam, Seagram's Court, and anything else.
Nah, that's awesome. And Kathleen, over the last few months, probably the last couple of years, has really put together a great list of broadcasters. Monsignor McHenry's been here for almost a year now, I think, and it may be just over a year. And what a wonderful job he's doing for us, and for the Lord. Yeah.
I just made a mistake. I said Michelle McCloud, Kathleen McCloud. I'm sorry, Kathleen. I called you Michelle. I'm sorry about that. I'm all mixed up still.
Nah, you're good. You're good. She's probably been called a lot worse.
Yeah. Oh, you owe me the first round, okay? You owe me the first round, okay?
It sounds good.
I want a vanilla milkshake and a fountain Coca-Cola, okay?
You got it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
He's gone.
Hey, Frank, you still there?
He hung up, but I'm sure he's listening.
That's all right. I'll let it go. I'll say it next week.
All right.
He always hangs up on me. Anyway, what a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, he always mentions Captain Lou, and his brother Nick was with us on Monday.
Yeah, Ken, I was going to ask you to give that outer guide about Nick. Remember that in breakfast?
Oh, yeah. So Monday morning we had, his father mentioned, we're out at Malvern and for the raising of the cross, and we decided, Father graciously decided to offer 8 o'clock mass for us on Monday morning in St. Joe's Hall, so it would allow us enough time to run out and grab breakfast and then come back for the cross. And we're at breakfast, and it was our good friends, Sean Mooney, Mary B. D'Amico, and Nick Campione and I, and you know, we're just talking, and you know, Nick, whenever he gets an opportunity, he talks about the shrine for St. John Neumann at St. Peter's down on Girard Avenue, and he had a new audience with Mary B. I think it was, he may have met her on the Friel retreat back in August, but really the first time that they had a conversation. And so it was an opportunity for Nick to talk about his devotion to St. John Neumann. And Mary B. turns around and pulls out of her pocket a first-class relic of St. John Neumann. And apparently she's been a devotee of St. John Neumann since she was a little girl. She struggled with some physical ailments. And when they, you know, symptoms would start, she would reach for her St. John Neumann relic and pray to St. John Neumann. So it was interesting to see the two of them beaming, having their conversation about St. John Neumann, and of course Nick and him getting to know the folks that are involved down there, especially when they redid the shrine and the gentleman that was responsible for making the new mask that is in the glass case there, and what the whole story behind that. So it was really kind of odd or God to have two people with that much of a devotion to St. John Neumann and not knowing it beforehand, and all of a sudden it, you know, comes to fruition over an omelet. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and John Neumann with the 40 hours, the Eucharist again. I used to go down there, Ken, and, you know, busloads of people would come in. And at the time, the museum was off to the left of the tabernacle. They would go in the room, and they had all the paraphernalia of the saint. They had his razors, his books, his rosaries. And everybody would get excited at this little saint that they could see in this little glass coffin. And then they would pass by the tabernacle, not so much as a nod, and right into the excitement of all the saint's belongings, his possessions. I kept looking at St. John Neumann in that glass case. I thought he was going to turn over because all he stood for was the Eucharist. And sometimes, not that these relics are not important, they are, but they're sacramentals. It's not the Blessed Sacrament. They are attached to the Blessed Sacrament. And that's where our excitement should be. That's where we should be excited, at the tabernacle, at the Eucharist, because that's really, really him, you know. So there again, the Eucharist keeps coming out, you know, the center of the Eucharist, the heaven's gravity. Holy Eucharist. So heaven's radiation too, right? Radiation therapy, sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Amen. Yeah. So do you remember what you were going to say to Frank?
Is he on?
He's coming back on. Hello, Frank.
It was only one word.
Yes, I'm here.
Father's got one word
he
for you.
Up on me. You know I love you. You never let me have my say. But here's what I want to say to you, Frank. You listening? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Who's better than you?
You are.
Nah. There you go.
You can.
Captain Lou.
You're the best, Frank.
And Kathleen's listening. When I called you, Michelle, I'm sorry. I have an occupational therapist and a physical therapist at my house, and they're both named Michelle. So Michelle was in my mind. Sorry about that.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling back, Frank.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Thanks, Frank. God bless.
And I think we're going to Fruitland Park, Florida, to our friend Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
How are you, brother?
Good, good. I had technical difficulties. I missed most of the show.
Oh, sorry to hear. How are things in Fruitland Park?
Oh, everything's great down here. Yeah. But it's just today is like one of my very favorite saints, Mother Cabrini. You know.
Yeah.
I love her.
Why is that?
She did so much. I mean, you know, under such circumstances, you know, tiny little lady spoke no English, you know, and you know, severe, you know. Like racial problem, you know, like the Italians, the Irish, the Germans were discriminated against when she came, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of Catholic schools went to see the movie Cabrini, and the black students were shocked to learn that other, you know, ethnic groups had been discriminated against like that. But she proved that you can do anything. You know, without God, you can do nothing, and with God, you can do everything.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
That's the lesson I always get from her, you know?
Very good. What else is going on? Anything?
No. The fish are still jumping in my boat.
Very good. It's always good to hear from you.
I went on my Emmaus retreat. I was last Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I didn't know until 8 o'clock Thursday night, who won the election, you know?
So, wow.
Because they, you know, we were isolated, you know?
Hey, good for you. One of a handful of people probably in the world that didn't know. That's pretty
right,
cool.
Right.
Father, you got a comment before we let Bob go?
I do. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Father.
Monday, you were listening, we erected the cross. But I also pray for our veterans, Veterans Day. And one of my sayings was about the veterans, you know, is thinking about all you guys and my brother Harry, you know, paying the ultimate price and those still paying the price and those who are serving. But I used that Chinese parable, you know, that said, when you drink the water, don't forget who dug the well. And when you enjoy the nation, when you enjoy the freedom of our nation, don't forget who fought for it, who suffered for it, who paid the ultimate price for it, who's still paying the price for it.
Yep.
Our troops. But what a beautiful day for St. Martin Tours, because he was a soldier.
He left the army of the Julius Caesar
and joined the army of Jesus. He was a soldier, and he's the patron of soldiers, the patron saint of all that.
So everything kind of fell into place.
So I want to thank you, Bob, for your service.
Again, when
we drink the water, don't forget who dug the well. When I enjoy the freedom of the nation, I don't forget you, Harry, and all of our buddies and neighbors that come here that had served in the military. So thank you and all of our military personnel. God bless you, Bob.
I learned a different perspective on Martin of Tours. I used to always think, well, wait, he cut his cloak in half. Why didn't he give the guy the whole thing? It was supposedly there's a cloak that's issued to you by the Roman army, but it's not sufficient. So you sew another cloak underneath it, and the Roman cloak shows on the outside. So he could not give his army cloak away. So he split the seam and gave the cloak which he had sewed onto the Roman cloak to the to the beggar, you know. Because I was always thinking, this guy's like that couple got in trouble when they sold all their property and only gave St. Peter some of the money. And I'm saying, hey, this guy only gave half his cloak. You know, why didn't he give the whole thing? Well, he couldn't. You know, that was Roman army property, the rest of it, the part that he didn't give away.
Interesting.
And you know, Bob, our familiar word, chapel, that's where it's derived from, you know. And
oh, really?
Amazing. The oratory in which the alleged cloak of St. Martin was preserved was called, in Latin, the Capilla. So that's where the word chapel comes from. But also with St. Norbert, someone had left the Norbertines, and Norbert gave him a piece of the habit. And that was the beginning of the Second of Franciscans as well. So there's a lot behind that split coat. But I don't know if everyone knows the story about, you know, what happened was he's coming down the road. He's a soldier. There's this beggar there. You know, he's cold. He's shivering. And it's really like a time of a severe cold. So he takes his sword. He cuts his cloak in half, and he wraps around himself and gives the other one to the beggar. And he looks kind of silly, and the neighbors are kind of like making fun of him. But that night he has the dream. And in the dream, what happens is the beggar's walking in the middle of the apostles, and Peter sees him coming to him, and Peter says, Jesus, where'd you get that beautiful coat at? Martin, my servant, gave it to me. So what you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. But I'm not behind that cloak.
Well, I wear the equivalent of a cloak. I wear my Palix sweatshirt down here all the time. And you would say, why are you wearing a sweatshirt in Florida? You need a sweatshirt to go indoors in Florida because they got the air conditioning jacked up so cold. Everybody wears a sweatshirt indoors. And funny, a lot of people ask me, what's Palix? And probably 10% of the people actually come out, did you know that Palix means chalice in Latin? I said, wow, you know. And it's a conversation starter. It really is.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
All right, Bob. Always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well,
sorry, the Martin
at Tours. Yeah, well, and I'll give it right to you, Father, if you want. We've only got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll just say something where he leaves the... He leaves the army, and he has that experience, right? And he has the dream, and he wants to just leave the army. I was just looking for where that all that came from. But anyway, Julius, I'm going to do this paraphrase. He comes in front of Julius Caesar, and they want to give him some kind of an award for being a soldier. He wouldn't take it, and he said he wanted to leave the army and give himself as a soldier for Christ. And of course what Julius Caesar didn't like that at all, threw him in the prison, but there he becomes the soldier for Jesus. And I often think, Ken, you know, we're all soldiers for Jesus. We're baptized as his children, but we're confirmed as soldiers in our faith to be witnesses to the faith, you know, to fight that spiritual battle, not with vice but with virtue, not with hate but with love, not with darkness but with light, not with sin but with grace. And that, you know, Satan has all his evil weapons, and we got all the virtues to fight against those evil weapons. But Martin of Tours, he became a conscientious.
Amen. Father. Here come old Red Legs. Father? Yeah, not sure. I'm going to hang up on him. If he calls back real quick, we can get him for the blessing. Otherwise, he's out. But, you know, and talking about Martin of Tours and that coat, of course, he gives half, and then he has a vision of Jesus in heaven. And Jesus thanking him for the coat. And, you know, the other thing that was interesting was he really didn't want to be a bishop. And they on a ruse, the people of Tours lured him to a church under the guise of helping somebody that was sick. And next thing you know, they nominate him and have him made bishop of Tours. And, of course, when Frank called in, he talked about St. Martin, a tourist church. Anybody that spent a bunch of time in Philadelphia has probably traveled on the Roosevelt Boulevard and up there, I think it's Oxford Circle, where St. Martin, a tourist church, sits. Is just a great spot. I had a number of men from that parish that came on retreat with us for a great number of years. Anyway, we've reached the top of the hour. So, unfortunately, we had a little technical difficulty at the end there. I'm sure that Father McKay is blessing you from Grace Ferry, but not over the air right now. And we've got another show lined up for you at 5 o'clock with Dr. Helen Hoffner. And we're going to be talking about our book about collecting rosaries. So don't go away. We'll be right back.